You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth, and we are an organization that stands in opposition to the powerful and well-funded gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, add your various other descriptions to that. We're a small group, and the homosexual lobby is very big, well-funded, but what they don't have is the truth, and so they've really advanced by propaganda, and that has something to do with what we're going to be talking about today, because I'm very happy to report that we'll be interviewing my friend and a woman who's actually been the target of the homosexual lobby, Sally Kern. Sally, are you on the line?
Yes, sir, I am, Pete.
Well, Sally, I should have said the Honorable Sally Kern, or however you address a state representative in the State House of Oklahoma. Sally was elected to the Oklahoma State House of Representatives in 2004. She was voted the Outstanding Lawmaker of the Year by a conservative group in Oklahoma, and she's been championed by other pro-family groups. But politically speaking, probably, and now you're known all over the world, Sally.
Right, so
you had a speech that was recorded that was critical of the homosexual agenda, and a homosexual got in there, secretly taped the speech, sent it to a homosexual lobby group called the Gay and Lesbian Victory Fund. They presented a sort of out of context excerpts on YouTube, and all of a sudden, Sally Kern was the object of one of the nastiest campaigns we've ever seen come out of the homosexual movement. And that says a lot, Sally, because it's not the nicest special interest group.
That's true. I found that out. Boy, did I find that out.
Well, Sally, you've written a book called The Stoning of Sally Kern, The Liberal Attack on Christian Conservatism and Why We Must Take a Stand. And I'm not even halfway through the book yet, Sally. We're going to do a two-part interview here, so we'll be up next week, folks. And you can always get archived interviews at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com. But, Sally, I was so anxious to start reading this book because, you know, I was very familiar with your story, actually a small part of it when you came under attack. But how does it feel to have your first book out?
Well, it's really mind-boggling. It's amazing. I never really dreamed of writing a book, and I certainly never dreamed of being in this kind of a situation. And when I was first approached about writing a book, I said, who would want to read about what happened to this little state legislator in Oklahoma? And so I really had to be convinced that this book could have a far-reaching impact because of not only am I a legislator who didn't back down, but I'm a minister's wife, have been a minister's wife for over 30 years, close to the 40 years, and so I could speak to the part the church ought to be playing in this. And then for close to 20 years, I was a high school teacher, government teacher, history teacher. And so, you know, they said you can also talk about what's happening in the educational system on this this particular issue. So I said, okay, I'll try my hand at it. And it was just really amazing. I really feel like the Lord was in the writing of the book because it only took me about 4.5 months to do the first draft. And I would complete a chapter, I would give it to my husband to read, and he would say, man, this is good. And I would say, you're biased, you know. And so anyway, the book came together. We began shopping it around. And especially, Pete, when I started getting some, when we found a publisher that said they wanted to publish it, and they asked me to get some endorsements from different people. So I started talking to some different people, and you'll probably mention who they are in a minute. But when they would send in an endorsement, I would read that endorsement, and I would just, I literally would cry because I was so humbled that these individuals were saying such really good things about this book. And I told my husband, I said, wow, if this book is half as good as these people say it is, it must really be a good book. And the response that I've gotten from just people here in Oklahoma, I've had the opportunity since it's come out, officially came out on July the 5th, I've been able to speak all over the state, a number of places, and everybody just loves it. They say it's an eye-opener. They can't believe what happens.
It's very well written, too, Sally. And let's get to the story. And let me read one of the reviews of the endorsements of the book. This is from David Barton, founder of Wall Builders. He said, "The Stoning of Sally Kern," that's Sally's book, "will not only open your eyes to a real threat facing America, but it will encourage and motivate traditional God-fearing Americans to stand boldly against attacks on our faith and the faith of our fathers." And Sally, I have to say that you're very humble, and you say in this book how you were an ordinary pastor's wife, but I don't think you're quite as ordinary as you say, and I appreciate your humility. But I think the extraordinary thing that makes this book and your story important is that you didn't back down. I mean, we've seen so many people come under attack from the homosexual activist lobby. And it's extraordinary what you went through, and we're going to hear about it in this interview. But the exciting thing for me, and I think the reason that you touched off a lot of support and a lot of respect among believers, among conservatives, even among non-believers who happen to share our Christian morality, our biblical-based morality, is that you didn't back down. And so many people are worn down or intimidated by this lobby, this pro-homosexual lobby, when somebody stands up and says, "No, you know, I don't hate homosexuals. I love homosexuals, but I just can't accept something that God says is a sin," it warms people's heart. It gives them strength and courage.
Well, I think it does, too. I do think I'm a very ordinary person, but I serve a very awesome God. And that's what it's His strength, it's His grace that gave me the strength and the fortitude to stand up, because I look back at my upbringing and having, you know, being a minister's wife and the love for God's word that I've had from a very young age. You do have to compromise a lot when you're in the political arena, but I will never compromise on principle, and God's word has truth in it, and this is God's truth. He loves all sinners, but He does not love sinful actions, and He calls a man lying with a man and a woman lying with a woman an abomination. And so I could not back off of that, and I don't hate homosexuals. I'd love God's word even more, and so I couldn't back down. I'll be honest with you, there were many a night, Pete, when I went to bed crying, saying, "God, why?" You know, it would be easier to, you know, not have to deal with all of this. But, you know, God never promised us that life would be easy, but He always promised His grace would be sufficient. And so, I'm reminded of, since all this has happened, I found a quote by Thomas Jefferson that says, "In matters of style, swim with the crowd. In matters of principle, stand like a rock." And I'm so glad that I found that quote, because that's, in my opinion, what I've done. I've stood like a rock, and the rock is Jesus Christ.
Well, and you know what? Now we see the emphasis even in the church of style over principle, and
yes.
I see that in the emergent church and the new approaches of the new evangelicals towards homosexuality, you know, where it's all about... You know, they're willing to compromise principle. They're even willing to sort of recognize almost this inherent sexual orientation, so-called. In other words, recognizing people as being gay, as who they are, which there's no basis in the Bible for believing
exactly.
that. And yet they can compromise on that, and they're all about the style. So I think you're the reverse. But I must say you state yourself very well in this book, and we are going to be offering this book at Americans for Truth for $20 postpaid. So we've purchased some of these books, and I recommend that people get them. And there'll be information on that at AmericansForTruth.com. Sally, after the break, we're going to get into exactly what was said. But why don't you first give us, we got a couple minutes before the first break here. Give us your background, how you became a Christian, your husband, Steve, who's a wonderful Christian pastor. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, I had the privilege of being born into a wonderful Christian family, was always taken to church, grew up in the church, and at a young age said I wanted to be a foreign missionary. And so I literally trained myself to be the person who, in a situation, if there was just one person who kept their cool, it was going to be me. And what I was doing, unbeknownst to me at the time, was I was developing a very strong self-willed. And it wasn't until after I was married and seeing the meekness and the humility and the personal relationship that my husband had with the Lord that I realized I knew a whole lot about Jesus and his word, but I did not know him personally. And I went through a week of hell coming to the point where I finally said, God, you're right. I have never genuinely been born again. I'm very religious, but I'm not your child. And so, you know, God broke my heart at the age of 27, you know, after having been in the church all my life. And it's amazing how God's word becomes much more alive when you're actually born again and you have the Spirit of God within you to illuminate it. And so,
when you're reading the word in faith, it's amazing.
It sure is. And I praise God that for that.
Now, again, we're talking to Sally Kern, the representative Sally Kern from Oklahoma. And her book is The Stoning of Sally Kern, The Liberal Attack on Christian Conservatism and Why We Must Take a Stand. This will be available through Americans for Truth for $20. We want to get as many people, as many Christians reading this book as possible. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. We're happy to have as our guest Sally Kern, the Honorable Sally Kern, State Representative for Oklahoma. And Sally, before we get to this incredible incident with the homosexual lobby, I want you to tell, you shared how you became born again as a believer. Share a little bit about, it's interesting in your book about how you ended up running for office. Talk about that, and when did you get elected?
Okay, I, you know, married my husband almost 42 years ago, and so we have served in three different churches. We're in our third church now. We came to Oklahoma City back in 1996, and I immediately started teaching in a large inner-city high school. And the first 3 years, I believe it was, that we were here, Steve was asked to be the chaplain at the state legislature. And he would come home each time, and he would say to me, gosh, you ought to run for office. You've taught government all these years, and, you know, you could do that job. And I literally laughed at him, Pete. I was not interested. I was very content. Loved being a minister's wife. Loved being a high school teacher. Got to coach girls golf. I was not interested in doing anything else. And so when he, after the third time, he never said any more about it, and that was fine with me. And one year, it was around 1999, I was teaching my advanced placement class, and we were talking about elections and campaigns, and the students generally had the opinion that all politicians are crooked and in it for the money. And I told them, I said, you know, you're stereotyping. Some are, but not all of them. And you could say that about any profession. And then I made this statement. I said, one of these days, Miss Kern may run for office, and I hope you know I'm not rich. I hope you know I'm a person of integrity. And that statement just would not go out of my mind. And I tried to get it out of my mind. I never said a word to my husband. Finally, I decided I ought to pray about it. And so I started praying about it, and the more I prayed, the more I felt like I should run. And that's when I said something a Christian shouldn't say. I said, no, Lord, don't want to do this. It would get me out of my comfort zone. Little did I realize how much it would get me out of my comfort zone. So I was miserable for several months, and finally said, okay, Lord, you want me to run? I'll run. My husband came home. I told him that, you know, I was going to run. And it had been so long since we had discussed it. He said, run for what? And I told him. And I was really hoping he would say, I don't think that's such a good idea anymore. And then I could be a submissive wife and not run. But he gave me two thumbs up, introduced me to a godly woman who had been in our state senate. and worked for Governor Keating for 8 years. And so I met with her, and she gave me wonderful advice. And she said, just because God wants you to run, you feel like he wants you to run, doesn't mean you're going to win. And I remember saying to her, well, I don't want to win. You know, I'm just running to be obedient. And so I started running. I had never, you know, and I mentioned this in the book, I'd never been to a precinct meeting, a county meeting, a district meeting, or a state meeting of any political party. I always voted because I was, you know, I was brought up, this is my country, I need to vote, and I pretty well knew the issues. But I was too busy as a minister's wife and a school teacher to do that. And so I really didn't expect to win, and there were five of us in the primary, and lo and behold, I came in first in the primary. There was a runoff, and I won that. I won the general election 68% to 32%. And
what year was that, Sam?
That was 2004. My first session was 2005. And I mean, it's just been a wonderful experience on one hand. On the other, it's been the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Something I don't mention in the book, Pete, is when I was knocking, I do mention in the book this, that when I knocked on people's doors, I told them I was running as a distinctively Christian candidate because I believed we were in a cultural war for the very existence of our Judeo-Christian values. And if you agreed with me, vote for me. And if you don't, I'm not who you want. I had perfect liberty to say that because, you know, I didn't really want to get elected. Well, right after I got elected, not 1 month after session had started, I got a phone call from a little mother who said, Representative Kern, I remember what you said on my doorstep about running as a, you know, a Christian candidate. Let me tell you what happened with my four-year-old daughter in the library the other night. She had checked out the book, King and King. And the mother said, will you help me get this book out of the library?
Oh, man.
And so I, you know, I mean, I had a decision to make right then and there. Was I going to do this or not?
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, okay, I'll help you get it out of the children's section, because I didn't think, you know, we can't do censorship. I'm not for that. Well, that got the local homosexuals very riled up about, you know, with me. And
that was your first controversial move?
It was. But that has defined my whole legislative career.
Right.
And then, of course, what happened in the year 2008 when I was speaking to a relatively small group. There were about 25, maybe 30 people there who were grassroots Republicans. And I was sharing with them what I had learned about this group of millionaire homosexuals who are funding campaigns at just the local, state, county level to take out conservative people so they can get in homosexuals or pro-homosexual people so that they can, and these are their words, within 10 years change the nation so there's equality and freedom for all, meaning same-sex marriage.
Yeah, now, Sally, let me interrupt you there. Folks, this is the speech that got Sally in trouble because somebody secretly taped it. But, Sally, you know, when I was reading this, I said, you know, this was a great little talk. To set it up, you were rushed. You said you didn't.
Right.
They ended up cutting your time, and you're saying it rushed. And you admit that there's a couple things in the talk, which I want to read the money quote, the famous one. But it's really it shows to me that you have a great grasp of the problem that we face. You talk about where are the, you know, you're focusing in on how this homosexual billionaires and millionaires, Tim Gill being the number one guy,
right,
had the strategy of targeting local races rather than throwing money at, say, Barack Obama winning the presidency. They were going to take out these basically little, you know, taking out the Sally Kearns all across the country. And one of the ones you mentioned was Danny Carroll, who was the Republican Speaker pro tem in the Iowa House.
Mm-hmm.
And they took him out. And so you're talking about, basically, you're talking about this homosexual agenda and how they're advancing. They work hard. Christians don't. And then, if I could, let me read the money quote, which is what the one that they use to get you in trouble.
Okay.
But it really is an excellent talk. And I'll also read, there's a couple bracketed parts where you said that you would have used different words. You're talking about, you know, the simple truth is that we both believe is that, you know, no matter what, homosexuality is not a lifestyle that God approves. And then you went on to say that matter of, and I'll read it verbatim. This is the money passage, folks, that the homosexual lobby exploited to try to take down Sally Kern. Matter of fact, study, this is Sally speaking at this conservative group of Oklahoma. Matter of fact, studies show that no society has totally embraced homosexuality has lasted more than, you know, a few decades. And then you have in brackets, you meant to say a few generations, not a few decades.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go on. So it's the death knell for this country. I honestly think it's the biggest threat that our nation has, even more so than terrorism or Islam, which I think is a big threat. Okay. And then you said in brackets, you meant to say radical Islam. Obviously, the Muslims going to mosque down the street, you're not talking about that. You're talking about this radical Islamic attack on our country. Mm-hmm. And then you go on, because what's happening now? They're going after in schools 2-year-olds. You know why they're trying to get early childhood education? They want to get our young children into the government schools so they can indoctrinate them. I taught school for close to 20 years, and we're not teaching facts and knowledge anymore, folks. We're teaching indoctrination, okay? And then you go on and you talk later about how, quote, gays are infiltrating city councils, how they're being elected in city councils all over the country, and they're changing the laws. And then one more part, and then I want to get your comments on this. You basically said, we got to get with it, people. This movement is spreading rapidly, and it's quickly spreading across the country. And then you compared that to, you said, quote, it spreads okay, and this stuff is deadly, and it's spreading. It will destroy our young people, and it will destroy this nation. And you have compared it to cancer.
Right.
That is the part that they took those excerpts and maybe a few more and put them in a recording on YouTube and then let the YouTube go, and then the call started flowing.
Right.
Is that... It was just a YouTube, and then they gave your number at your office. Is that how it worked?
I guess so. You know, the YouTube had my voice, and then they had pictures of people sitting there holding or standing, holding signs, "We're listening." And I made the particular speech that they recorded, I think, in January 10th, and they let it out on YouTube in March, and it was March the 7th, 2008. On a Friday, that I got word of what was happening, and within 1 week, we had over 30,000 emails on my Capital account, and then phone calls just galore. Just, you know, the voicemail box was filled up, and you couldn't get through.
And you had, and there was a million hits. Now, as of now, there are over a million hits on that YouTube.
Over 2 million, I believe now. You know, so yes, I upset them. And, you know, Pete, what I meant by that was this. In my opinion, a homosexual has every much a right to run for office and get involved politically as anybody else. That's what our society is about. But I believe that any group, that we as citizens have the right to know about any group that is organizing politically to go out into the marketplace and the political arena and put forth their ideas to influence policy and society. We, the American people, have the right to know about all of the different groups. This is a particular group that did not want it out of what they were doing. 2006, they targeted 70 conservatives across the nation. They defeated 50 of them. In 2008, they targeted a little over 200, I believe it was. They defeated close to 150 of them. And so I just felt like that here in Oklahoma, the conservative state we are, our people needed to know about this strategy that was being done across the nation, because we had a homosexual man running for statewide office. And so
They tried to make an example of you, and that's what we're going to be talking about, how they exploited this recording and how they really seek to intimidate people like Sally Kern from speaking out anywhere in all aspects of society.
Oh, yes.
We'll be right back with Sally Kern after the break. This is Americans for Truth.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. And before I go on with Sally again, I want to say that we have our banquet coming up. It is October 15th. We've got Dr. Erwin Lutzer from the Moody Church, and that will be at the Christian Liberty Academy in Arlington Heights. It's only $10 in advance, $20 at the door. We hope to get people there. We're going to be talking about the marriage campaign and our work at Americans for Truth. So if you can save that date, October 15th, which is a Saturday night, at the Christian Liberty Academy for our banquet. Now, Sally, you gave a speech which, and of course, they're going to hone in on to try to make it look, oh, Sally Kern says homosexuality is worse than terrorism. What you meant to say, and maybe you said maybe you in your rushing, you used a couple words you shouldn't have, is that this is a huge threat to society because God condemns homosexuality, and this movement is projecting and organizing and mobilizing people to do the very opposite of what God would have us do and believe about this issue.
Well, exactly. And, you know, if you just look at it in practical terms, which has destroyed and ended the life of more people? Terrorism attack here in America or HIV, AIDS, okay? In the last 20 years, 15 to 20 years, we've had maybe 3 terrorist attacks on our soil with a little over 5,000 people regrettably losing their lives. In the same time frame, there have been hundreds of thousands who have died because of having AIDS. So which one's the biggest threat? And, you know, every day our young people, adults too, but especially our young people, are bombarded at school, in movies, in music, on TV, in the mall, in magazines. They're bombarded with homosexuality is normal and natural. It's something they have to deal with every day. Fortunately, we don't have to deal with a terrorist attack every day. And that's what I mean. That it's more dangerous. And then, yes, I think that it's also more dangerous because it will tear down the moral fiber of this nation. George Washington said, of all the habits and dispositions that lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. We were founded as a nation upon the principles of religion and morality. If we take those out from under our society, we will lose what has made us a great nation. We will no longer be a virtuous people, which we see happening already. And without virtue, this nation will not survive.
You know, Sally, that is so true. And, you know, all the focus these days, most of the focus on the media is on the money. And I believe, of course, that our handling of our fiscal policy is also a reflection of our morality and
exactly.
our lack of integrity. But what you're saying is that nations crumble. And there's a sense, a growing sense among people that America is crumbling as a nation. You know, it's not just homosexuality, of course.
Right.
And I was really struck at the beginning. I want to say this, the beginning of your piece, of your book. You write about how in writing this book, you grew in love for homosexuals.
Oh, yes. I've become so much more aware of what they deal with and go through and of why a lot of people go into that lifestyle. It's not because they're born that way. It's because of a lot of the garbage, bless their hearts, that people have had to put up with in their upbringing and things like that. You know, this is a spiritual battle ultimately. And I was speaking the other night, and I reminded the people. I said, you know, a few years ago, I won't mention his name, but we had a president that ran on the slogan, "It's the economy, stupid." Well, I think if our founding fathers could come back and speak to us, they would say, "Look, it's the morality, stupid."
Yeah, it's the morality.
That's the problem we have today in our nation. It's not the economy. The Scripture teaches. If you believe the Bible, it teaches the nation that blesses the Lord will bless that nation. It's all through Scripture. And I believe if we as God's people will take care of the morality, He will take care of the economy. And we've become a secular, worldly society, and the world and the world's thinking has even gotten inside the church. We have lost our power and influence. We have lost our sense of holiness and awe of our holy, awesome God. And God is not like us. God is God, and we are accountable to Him. And
Sally, you know, it's really something when you look at America. I mean, I was shocked. I can't remember what movie it was on, but I mean, the movies, the decadence, the filth, the sexual joke and innuendo, and you know, there is such a thing as blaming all that. People who blame everything on the homosexual lobby are wrong.
Exactly.
What we're just saying is that the difference with homosexuality and a lot of the other sins, of course, is that it's got this massive lobby behind it. You know, you don't see promiscuity pride parades every summer.
You don't see the adulterers victory fund, you know.
Yeah, but with homosexuality you do, and it all falls under that very handy slogan of gay. But now before we're running out of time even for our first segment here. We've only got 6 minutes to the break. I want to talk about, okay, now the you got the emails coming in. Gay and Lesbian Victory Fund puts up this slanted YouTube of Sally Kern's speech, which somebody had secretly tape recorded and sent to them. And then you start getting this awful hate mail. And you did not print the profanities, of course, in your book. But let me just read one. What the blank is your problem? Were you dropped on your head as an infant? Or are all Republicans as mentally retarded as you obviously are? You homophobic blank. Read the Constitution, you Nazi freak. Hello, 14th Amendment. 14th Amendment is calling. Read it, you moron! Exclamation mark! And you just were inundated with this hate mail, and I'm sure 90% of it is the type that you would never conceive of mailing to a homosexual.
Oh, definitely, 99% of it. I mean,
and yet you're the hater. You're the hater, and they're the loving, tolerant ones.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I taught school for close to 20 years, high school. And I thought I'd heard everything, you know, as a high school teacher being around young people. Man, I learned words I never knew. And I was just amazed, just absolutely, I was floored at the vileness there. And not only just toward me, but toward anybody who believes in religion and morality. And then the hate email, the way they express things about Jesus and God.
All right.
You know, it just broke my heart.
There's a lot of the God-hating homosexual activists.
Oh, yes.
And it's awful. Now, it gets worse. The next thing that happened is one of these gay sites said, did you hear that Sally Kern's son is gay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they started a rumor that your son was a homosexual. And then they took it beyond that, and some very sloppy homosexual activist said, they searched on a website and they saw that this guy named Jesse Kern had been arrested on a sodomy charge in a public park. Mm-hmm. Well, they said, your son is named Jesse Kern. Mm-hmm. What they didn't realize is that was Jesse Jacob Kern, and your son was only 12 at the time. Your son is Jesse Aaron Kern, and yet it got out on the internet, which of course can live on forever, that Jesse Kern had been arrested on a sodomy charge.
Mm-hmm. And we lived in Idaho at the time. We were in a church up there. And, you know, they also said that we have abandoned and, you know, deserted our son, don't want anything to do with him, you know, all this stuff. And, man alive, that's anything but the truth.
And they said your husband was a KKK member in Idaho.
Yeah.
How did your family, I mean, Steve, I don't know him well. I mean, he's a wonderful guy. I've been on conference calls with him, and I had the privilege of meeting you guys there in Oklahoma once. But, I mean, how did your family, I know it was bathed in prayer, but how did your kids handle it? How was Steve through all of this?
Oh, Steve has been my rock of Gibraltar, you know. Actually, and I think I share this in the book, January before the March that this happened, he changed his whole lifestyle, you might say, or habit. We're both had always been kind of late night owls, and he started getting up in January at 5 in the morning and is still doing that. And I asked him one time, why are you doing this? He says, well, God's just convicted me. I need to pray for our nation, for our leaders, you know, and for you. And so even 3 months before this happened, God was preparing him to be my prayer warrior in all of this. And the way we have handled it, and I might add, every single one of us in my family have grown in our commitment to the Lord, in our commitment to the truth of His Word because of what we have gone through. But we went to God's Word, and I got lots of advice. The best advice I got was from Anita Bryant, who said, "You go to God's Word." She called me about 5 days after this happened, and she said, "You go to God's Word. You find every scripture dealing with fear, being afraid, God's protection. You read them, you memorize them, you claim them. You and your husband pray together. Your family pray together. You get a group of prayer warriors." And I did what that woman said, and only by God's grace and the prayers of His people have we been able to go through this with joy. You know, Scripture says in James, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations and trials, you know.
Right.
And I mentioned this in the book, that the homosexuals meant to destroy me in this, and actually what they have done is they have given me a voice beyond what I ever would have had. They have helped me to grow in the Lord like I never have grown prior to any of this, and it's just been amazing. I'm stronger today because of having gone through this than I was before it.
And I love your obedience to the Word. And I want to take, before the next break here, quickly, Anita Bryant, of course, is the first actual conservative Christian crusader against the homosexual agenda, which was just beginning. And you have a passage here on page 75 of your book. "Because Anita refused to back down, homosexual activists viciously attacked her. They organized boycotts against her corporate sponsors, aroused activist homosexuals all across America to hold protest rallies." And it goes on and on. She experienced, of course, a pie in the face, mm-hmm. bomb scares, hate mail, voodoo dolls were even sent to her. But Anita Bryant said in her book, The Anita Bryant Story, "But I've learned to obey God regardless of the consequences." And she lives right there in Oklahoma near you. You know, these are the heroes of the faith. You know, this is a lobby which has now taken on almost supernatural power of its own, but it's all working against God's will.
Exactly.
And we're talking to Sally Kern, who's written a great book called The Stoning of Sally Kern, The Liberal Attack on Christian Conservatism. This book will be available for $20 at Americans for Truth, the website americansfortruth.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth. Folks, if you have any extra cash, make a donation to Americans for Truth. We're perpetually broke. The website is americansfortruth.org, and you can hit the donate button. Now, Sally, you're getting flooded with this hate mail. The phone starts, somehow they got your home number, they got your home email, so you're getting it at home. That must have been pretty freaky. They're saying your son is a homosexual. They put out this false sodomy charge because they some loser got the wrong Jesse Kearns. And then the media is going to you, and they're demanding a retraction, of course. They want you to say, "I'm sorry I ever said that." And they want you to go take gay sensitivity lessons, right? So tell us about that. What was the media reaction?
Oh, the media reaction was, "Did you really mean what you said? You know, how could you do that?" And I mean, I was just bombarded with media attention. And as a matter of fact, I had one colleague at one point say, "Why don't you just quit, you know, giving these interviews, you know?" And of course, one thing they teach us when we're first elected is if the media wants to talk to you, you need to talk to them, you know. Well, I finally, after a while, I decided, you know, I'm not doing any more interviews because they never let me get out my side of the story.
How would they report it?
And that's, it was always, here's this hateful, controversial Representative Sally Kern, even to this day, Pete, whenever there's a story, if there's some issue or something that and they interview me, they come on and say, "We have a story today from the controversial State Representative Sally Kern." I mean, mm-hmm. they still tag that. And I actually had one media guy here locally who interviewed me, and then he sent me a private message on Facebook and said, "Look, when you see the story, that's not how I turned it in. They changed it." And of course, to change it to make me look like you know, a radical, a hateful person.
Well, you're so controversial, Sally. I think you could probably be elected governor. And well, I'm not near the only person saying that.
Yeah. Well, I was at this meeting in Ada, Oklahoma, the other night, and a guy came up and said, "Well, when are you going to run for governor?"
And I think you could do it. Although there's a Republican in there now. Now, before we get to the rally for Sally, which was to your defense, they also want the homosexual lobby again, led by the Gay and Lesbian Fund, which is trying to make an example and intimidate any other politician or legislator like Sally from speaking out. That's the idea. If you make an example of somebody who speaks out against homosexuality, then you intimidate everybody else from doing it. That's what they did with Dr. Laura Schlesinger, and look at the effect it's had on the media. They took down Dr. Laura Schlesinger. They got her TV show canceled, and now a lot of people don't want to be the next Dr. Laura. So this is how the homosexual lobby works, folks. It's all about intimidation.
You're right.
But they started demanding that they were requesting that the Speaker of the House reprimand you. Is that accurate?
Oh, yes. They sent emails to every single legislator in the House as well as the Senate over and over again. They would contact the Speaker saying, you know, make her step down, reprimand her, everything. The Speaker Secretary told me that there for several days they couldn't even do any work because they got so many phone calls and emails and everything, you know. And
See,
that's what the homosexual lobbyists do, is it's called, I'm going blank here now, it's jamming, you know.
But sure.
They send so many emails, you know, where they pester you, they force you into making a certain, you know, to taking the stand they want, and to make you look like and feel like you're out there all by yourself, you know. And that's something that they didn't realize about me is, look, God and I make a majority, and I'm sorry, I'll be happy to disappoint you, but I'm going to seek as best I can to not disappoint my Lord and be right with Him. That matters more to me than it does pleasing all the rest of these people, you know, even if it's happen to be my colleagues, you know. So
and you say, and you know, there was this huge rally for Sally, which was an effort, and I was there. I spoke at that, and it was a wonderful thing to see the people overflowing in the Oklahoma State House. And you said in that speech, I think, or correct me if I'm wrong, but you explain why you can't apologize. You've admitted where you made a small word mistake. You didn't mean to say that it's going to be a few decades. It's a few generations. America could be the great American civilization could go down. But you can't apologize for the principle of opposing the homosexual lifestyle and saying how dangerous this activism, which seeks to almost pathologically seek the acceptance, use the state to force people to accept, if necessary, demanding acceptance of homosexuality. You wouldn't back down on that.
No, I wouldn't, and I will never back down on it, because God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the only way I would back down is if God were to come and take out of His word that homosexuality is an abomination and apologize, then I would probably back off. But I don't think God's going to do that, and so I'm not going to do it. And it's not about me being so strong, Pete. It's about the truth of God's word. I believe in the truth of God's word.
And you believe in obedience, too, obedience to God. And I think what's happened in so many cases, Sally, and I don't mean to point fingers because I know it's tough. I mean, I get a lot of the same attacks that you got. I get the ugly attacks, you know, this porno Pete business where they just throw these slurs out by these so-called tolerant and loving people. But people are compromising on God's word, Sally, even if they won't say it. If a church starts teaching that, like Willow Creek, we just protested outside Willow Creek in Chicago because they got rid of their ex-gay ministry. They used to be affiliated with the ex-gay ministry. They would hold up people whose lives had been changed by Christ, by Jesus Christ, and turned around. They used to hold those people up. They don't anymore because they don't want to offend so-called gays and lesbians attending the church. That's compromising on God's words.
Sure
that's
is.
Compromising on Second Corinthians 5, chapter 5, when how God it makes people a new creation.
Right.
There are compromises, but I don't think a lot of people are admitting that they are compromising.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And you know, I've asked myself the question many times, why is the church so silent? And I think it's because the church has become so much like the world, and we have so much sexual sin within the church. Adultery is, you know, you even hear ministers, you know, you promiscuity, premarital sex, you know,
and pornography.
So, pornography, oh, yeah, you know. I mean, and so why, you know, no one has the boldness to stand up and talk about homosexuality when they're dealing so much with this other garbage, you know. Mm-hmm. Or you have these parents who, you know, their child or a close loved one may come and say, I'm homosexual. Well, you love them, and you know, so you don't want to alienate them, you know. But, you know, if somebody's house is burning down, you don't stand by and say, oh, bless their hearts, they have the right to stay in that house, you know.
Right.
I mean, we recognize it as danger, and we yell, you need to get out.
And Sally, tell me now, you've got a minute left here. I mean, you say you've grown. How has the Lord used, just in a minute, what has changed about your spiritually about your outlook on this issue through all this crisis?
Well, my boldness in speaking out for the truth of God's word on this issue as well as other issues, my desire to want to be more obedient and be as obedient as I can be. Because, you know, if God allowed this to happen in my life, he's given me a voice because of it. And so I need to make sure that every area of my life is matching up to what God wants, because I don't want to be a hypocrite, and because I don't want to eventually be taken down because of you know, maybe some area in my life's not where it ought to be.
Right.
And so it's just made me much more conscious of the fact that God is in control, and God has chosen for some reason to allow this to come into my life and to be someone who's speaking out.
We'll have to leave it there, Sally.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking next week with Sally Kern. Her book is The Stoning of Sally Kern, and you can get it through our website, which is americansfortruth.org. We'll talk to you next week.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war, people who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.